And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios right here in Northwest Pennsylvania. It is Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2017. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there, to the ladies out there. God bless you. I hope your husbands, especially someone in your life, I hope they did express to you how much they do love you. That's about all I could do with my wife. Just say, hey, babe. Gotta go to work. And I did that via note, no less. And that was, I don't know, 14 hours ago. So, anyway. But, Pro Flowers, yeah, saved me as well as Sherry's Berries. Hopefully that'll make up for things. But seriously, I'd like to wish everyone just a wonderful day today. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us as we look at these events together, folks. We've got headlines after headline after headline after headline that's really swamping us. The left, the progressive, radical, Marxist, Leninist left, just very quickly, with respect to Flynn, Michael Flynn. I did a video today, and I would urge everyone to go to our official YouTube channel. Just go to HagmannReport.com, click on the YouTube channel, or HagmannandHagmann.com, click on the YouTube channel. Check out the 12-minute video I did with respect to the backstory on Flynn. Yes, there was some snarkiness by Philippe Raines, the Deputy Assistant Attorney Secretary of State under Clinton, and also somebody that had his hands on the pie, Internet pie. Okay, will do. Hang on, folks, just talk amongst yourselves for a second. All right. This is interesting. Okay, our YouTube link, for those listening, we just got a notice here. Eric the Tech just said, okay, keep stalling because our YouTube link is broken. But
I'm going to check on our end.
All right.
See what's going on. We have a great show lined up for
tonight. Yeah, we do.
Assuming we will be able to broadcast, but we can broadcast regardless of YouTube.
Oh, I mean, you know, yeah, we'll fix this. This is ridiculous. We're not going to, and you know what? Debbie, just hold on for a sec.
It says live stream starting soon.
Okay. Well, let's get into the back end of that and fix this. But I did do a video earlier today. It's up there on our official YouTube channel. Please check that out. And again, we're looking at the Flynn resignation, but the backstory is Hillary Clinton's friend, Philippe Raines, sent out a rather snarky email pertaining to General Flynn, as well as Michael Flynn, General Flynn's son, about the Pizzagate reference. Remember back in December. And I have a feeling that that was there's some issues there with respect to that. So check that out too. That's the backstory. You know, what goes around comets around is what Philippe Raines said, and then Hillary Clinton retweeted that, and of course that's reference to Comet Ping Pong Pizza. And I just think that there's a whole lot of there. The leaks themselves are the issue, not the story about Flynn doing what he would do normally as he was preparing to take office. And the leaks are coming from Obama. Even before the transition, you had Obama, Rhodes, Brennan, of course. If NBC was looking at classified documents, transcripts, that is, which would have a classification, the story now here is not Flynn. The story is how they got those classified documents. So that's something I would really urge everyone to look at very carefully. All right. Now, hang on just a second, folks. Are we fixing this, or is this... No, I'm... Okay, so we are live via Globalstar and Blog Talk. Okay, so, and we're coming back up, hopefully, right here on YouTube. Well, what is the issue with YouTube? And how does that happen? Okay, we need answers on this. All hands on deck, John and JD, if you're listening to this, and I know you are, all hands on deck. Look, we need to get this up and running. We're not going to keep this lady waiting. All right. So, but having said all of that, it's something to keep your eyes on. And also, I'm going to be looking at, or I'm going to be doing providing a full recap of up-to-date investigative analysis at the Awaken to the Shaken conference in Gurnee, Illinois. That's just north of Chicago. That is on May 5th. Folks, go to paulbigleyprophecy.com and check the box or look for Awaken to the Shaken link there and sign up for that. I'm going to tell you something. Russ Dizzar is going to be there. Paul Begley, Joe and I are going to be there. It's going to be a fantastic conference, and that is in May 5th. I think it's May 4th or 5th, or 5th and 6th. 4th, 5th, I'm not exactly certain, 100% certain. I think it's 5th and 6th. So schedule yourself accordingly for that. Portion of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Health Masters, healthmasters.com. If you haven't done so already, go to healthmasters.com. There, order your multiple vitamins, ultimate multiple, and also order your cortisol buster. That's a new product, and let me tell you something, that provides clarity, mental clarity, that provides a lot of things, stress relief, it's a de-stressor, it's mental clarity. And look at the various packages there, the Hodges package, the Hagman package, blood sugar package, the immune system package. Look at all of the different packages, but I certainly would absolutely recommend everyone getting their supplements via healthmasters.com and use the coupon code DUG5 for 5% off your purchases. All right. As we work on the YouTube situation, which apparently, all right. Here we go. We're apparently we are getting some progress on that. Debbie Bacigalupi is a woman that, she's a California cattle rancher. She's in demand throughout the West as an educational speaker, inspirational speaker. But she's got knowledge on Agenda 21, the 2030 Agenda, cap and trade, sustainable development, property rights, dams and water rights, and so on. I mean, she is one smart cookie. She's the ambassador at large for technocracy.news. It's a website, of course, that's operated by Patrick Wood, and she has a lot of great information. And she has attended many conferences that include the 2012 United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development, COP21, the 2015 UN Paris Climate Change Conference, Navigating the American Carbon World on Cap and Trade, and so on. I can go on and on. She co-produced and or inspired timely documentaries, including Blue, No Water, No Farmer, No Food, and Wolves in Government Clothing, all that focus on how aggressive environmental policy is harming rural America. You know, discouraged by the erosion of rural America, she ran for the U.S. House of Representatives back in 2012. Ms. Bacigalupi holds a B.S. degree in business and master's in business administration and is a certified meeting professional and sommelier. I did not know what that was until we started with Wink. That's actually a wine taster, a selector of wine expert. So I'm not even sure if I pronounced that right. But we're going to be bringing her on in a second. Just bear with us just for a moment, please. 1 minute. Now, folks, those of you who are listening to this, or I guess it's almost a nonsense to think that people are listening via YouTube, right? So if you're waiting for the show, if you're looking for the YouTube link, you're listening to this via other methods, you want to watch this, just check our website, HagmanandHagman.com. Momentarily, it'll be up. Unsure exactly what happened, but just a broken link, apparently. So having said that, but we're going to wait until this is all up so we can have 100% with Debbie without any problems. And, so that's that. Also, again, about the news of the day, you know, it's amazing. If you turn to the liberal channels, the MSNBCs and what have you, I started with Morning Joe about 6 o'clock, just to watch, I guess it was 6 o'clock this morning, just to watch what they were talking about. And there's blood in the water with respect to the resignation on Flynn. And they're looking for additional, I don't want to say resignations, but looking for additional, victims, shall we say, in the administration. All right. Looks like we're up and running. Good to go. All right. Very good. So watch that. The story is not the resignation. The story is about the leaks. Now let's do, Todd, if you can hear us from Global Star Radio, let's not do the bottom of the hour break. Let's give Debbie our 100% time since we're late on this, and let's just go right through to Debbie Bacigalupi. Debbie, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
We can. Yes,
and
we can.
And we can see you.
And we can great. See you. And this is great. We apologize for the delay. So we're going to go right through to the top of the hour so you have the complete floor.
Oh, great. So we're talking Oroville Dam, right?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
And the horrible water situation in California, correct?
Yes. Yeah, lay it out for us, because I've gotten so many conflicting emails. People in the area, I've got one email saying that we are spreading fear and inciting panic by even talking about this.
And we really just reported on the story and talked about the potential danger that the dam in California faces if more water and more storms bring more water in and things are not fixed. And one thing we saw is the media did a lot of footage of when portions of the dam broke. They showed the running water through there, and it seemed to repeat the coverage. People weren't getting new information, and they even saw today that they're telling people from evacuated areas to come back to certain parts, and we know that the damage and the potential for damage is just at the very beginning, and it's very confusing.
It's still out there, so more damage is, and potential for major emergency and evacuation is still out there because there's a, storm coming back in, and we also have warmer weather, and we got tons of snow this year despite all the global warming hype. We got tons of snow this year. So, with the melting of the snow in the Sierra Nevadas and in the surrounding areas, just swelled with water and potential flooding in different areas from all the water, we've got a mismanaged system in California, a mismanaged infrastructure that our own state government, not just Jerry Brown, but the administration, Schwarzenegger administration before him, have not taken care of our infrastructure. Not just our dams, but our roads as well. They have been so focused on, this radical environmental, we got to protect planet Earth, we got to take care of the fish first before they've been taking care of the people. And so there are big fears still. And I have tons and tons of friends. In fact, my dad's best college buddies live in the area that's being impacted in and around the Oroville Dam, who are so concerned still. And there are a lot of evacuees, although they've loosened up, like in Butte County, they've loosened up areas where, the threat is not as what they think it was. But you know what? To let people back into the area, I think, is dangerous, because we don't know what the impact of the next storm coming through over the next 4 or 5 days is going to do to that area. So it's maddening for someone who is in the agriculture industry for 6 generations now. My family's been ag in California, and it's maddening that our government, that the people in charge and the bureaucracies, the self-appointed bureaucracies that have been appointed by either this governor or the governor before, are reckless and careless with the lives of the people who inhabit this state. It seems that they're more involved in taking care of, and I'm going to offend some people right here, and too bad, illegal immigrants who are coming in, and it seems they want to take care of them more than they want to take care of our infrastructure. We are spending tons of money on people who aren't coming here lawfully, who may be good people and hard workers, but aren't coming here lawfully. We are spending our money on things like that instead of spending the money, or Jerry Brown's, you know, high speed rail to nowhere, or this tunnel, this twin tunnel, in the Delta for Jerry Brown's water system, which is going to, you know, require massive amounts of land, you know, disruption of planet Earth, and probably avoiding environmental impact reports and studies so that he could get his twin tunnels through as immediately as he can, including a new dam that Jerry Brown wants to build called the Sites Dam, which happens to be right near Jerry Brown's farm, at the same time trying to destroy, I'm not kidding, and we've talked about this before, destroy the largest dam system in the United States of America. Well, actually, let me rephrase that. There is an agenda in California right now to destroy at least minimum at the start 4 clean, green hydroelectric dams on the Klamath River. This is the largest dam destruction project in worldwide history. And California obviously needs water. We need a government. We need people to forecast the years of drought that California historically has. Look, guys, California has always been a drought-ridden state. We've had historic drought. We've had historic floods all throughout our history. The reason that California is on the map as once the fifth largest economy in the world, I don't know what we've dropped to with, you know, total mismanagement of taxpayer funds and California's natural resources and California's built infrastructure, you know, from years and years past, a state that keeps growing and growing and growing in population. There is no sight in controlling that population, especially as being on the border of Mexico. You know, it just seems like they are not concerned about the amount of people who are here in California, but rather the amount of people they can push into mega cities like the One Bay Area plan in San Francisco, or the regionalized area. We're already regionalized in San Francisco, which means they start dissolving borders because we're all one big happy family. So why do we need, you know, fire departments all over the place? Can't we just share all resources and become one? Why does that matter? I know I'm all over the place, you guys, but let me go. I'm having a little fun here. So, you know, when you have this regional plan and this stuff, you know, and you don't need, you know, fire departments all over, and you don't need police departments all over, and you know what? Eventually you're not going to need your mayor, and you're not going to need your city council, because if we're all one and we're all the same, what's the point in you going to the polls and voting? This is what it's all about, giving control over to people who mismanage our infrastructure, mismanage our natural resources, take care of themselves like Jerry Brown is trying to take care of his own little ranch somewhere where Sites Dam is, and he's supposedly getting ready to frack, and because he's right on supposedly an oil preserve on that area. So we're going to destroy the Klamath River dams, which is ridiculous. It's reckless. It's crazy. And we're not going to work on the Oroville Dam and the spillway, you know, but 12 years later, we're going to put people in harm's way. But what we're going to work on are Jerry Brown's pet projects. I'm mad, you guys.
No.
I can see that. Well, let me clear up one thing. You're not, based on your proximity, you're not in any danger with respect to the dam, right?
Well, not physical danger. No. But go ahead.
No, okay. When you say not physical danger, yeah, in terms of the dam spillage, your property, you're located far enough away. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure.
Yes. My parents' cattle ranch is north. But it is in the Klamath River Basin. So destruction of that dam will then do something, will expand into, and this is where people, even in Oroville, need to think about their water rights. The rice farmers, the ranchers, crops, walnut farms, they need to start considering when that dam, if that water is gone, where are they going to start getting their water? For those who rely on stored water, where are you going to get your water? I have a feeling what's going to happen is in California, because water is the reason we are on the map. The only reason California is, you know, the breadbasket of the nation is because we were able to take water from the north part of the state and distribute it throughout San Joaquin Valley, which is, you know, a desert. We're arid. We're hot here. You know, we tend to be an arid climate. And that's perfect for growing crops and food and nutrient-dense food when you can add water to it. So California is based on this, you know, this water system where we're taking water from one area and taking it into San Francisco, for example. So we take it from Yosemite and feed the, you know, fresh, clean water into San Francisco so San Francisco's can have their excellent water. And from the north part of the state, like Shasta, it starts to distribute sometimes even all the way down to San Diego. And along its way, we go into the San Joaquin Valley, which is where you get, you know, just enormous amounts of different crops that go around and feed the world. We did not need to import our food from Mexico, but now all of a sudden we're importing our food from Mexico. We did take care of the nation at one point. As far as, or it was stated that we could. So we are not in harm's way. But when you think about if water is not controlled and they're letting all the water either wash out to sea because they didn't work on this dam, even though they knew 12 years ago there could be some issues down the road, or we're letting water out to sea for a delta smelt that's about the size of my pinky, which is what we call a truck and haul fish. They call it an indicator fish. They say it's an indicator fish because it's supposed to be like a barometer of how healthy the water is. But that fish is a truck and haul fish, which means that we take those kind of fish from a certain area and we truck them into other areas. So it's not a native species like they want us to believe. It's a truck and haul fish. It's planted. But anyway, so whether it's, you know, the delta smelt or some three-legged, two-eyed, two-pink-eyed frog in the Sierra Nevadas or whatever they want to make up, most of the water is being reserved for not farming and ranching and providing food for people, but rather for the environment. And in Agenda 21, which you know I speak every day about Agenda 21 in my life, wherever I am, whether it's in a grocery store line, or at church or wherever, I'm talking about Agenda 21. Under Agenda 21, United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development, the environment comes first and people come second. So we're not in danger physically, but we are in danger of losing our water rights, our adjudicated riparian water rights throughout California as water becomes more scarce and scarce and is treated as gold and is not distributed as it once was, but is recklessly managed. And then only if you're going along to get along in this new agenda called Agenda 21 for the 21st Century or Sustainable Development or the New Urban Agenda or the 2030 Agenda or whatever name they come up with next, if you're not going along to get along, you're out. And that's where we're in danger.
Okay. All right. Now, I apologize in case people are just joining us. Our guest is Debbie Bacigalupi, website technocracy.news. She's the ambassador at large, editor or assistant editor of that website, expert on Agenda 21, all things related to the technocracy, and a proponent of the. Of the anti-Agenda 21 agenda. Now, Debbie, let me just, again, just to, for those people joining us late, the Oroville Dam situation. Dangerous, I mean, extremely dangerous at this point. Just give us a thumbnail recap again.
Well, I don't think anybody really knows, and I don't think we can trust. We haven't been able to trust our government so far, and I honestly don't know who to believe. I know that I've talked to friends who live in Yuba City, Sutter, Buttes, in that area, and they're very, very concerned. They have been. The water is, the snow melt hasn't even begun. We have another storm coming in. The spillway is, you know, just crumbling. The dam is based on a ground system, a dirt system. They never, it is a reckless situation. And I don't think anybody has, their thumb on how dangerous potentially the situation is.
All right. So we really don't know. I mean, no one knows, but we know, as according to what you said, this situation didn't happen overnight. It's been 12 plus years in the making. They could have fixed this long ago. They didn't. They chose not to. Diverted monetary resources elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's on them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. So, yeah, keep going. Take it where you want to go.
Yeah. And, here's the thing. And I know a lot of people already know this. And if you don't, dams are in disfavor. In fact, This is one of the books that I've read. It's called the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. It's the United Nations Environment Program. This is the Bible for environmentalism and the marching orders for the environment in the 21st century that Jerry Brown in his biodiversity. So this is called the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. Very thick. You can see my little notes in here. And Jerry Brown in his biodiversity website had noted, oh, here it is, references this document. So Jerry Brown is the governor of California. Jerry Brown showed up at the first United Nations Rio Earth Summit in 1992. He was a presidential candidate at that time. And he declared in his speech, which you can find this online. It's rather difficult to find, but you can email me at dbachigalupi@gmail.com. You can go to technocracy.news and you can find me there. But Jerry Brown, in his speech as a presidential candidate who showed up to the first Rio Earth Summit in 1992, which is where they promulgated United Nations Agenda 21 to the world, the same year that Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi authored under George Herbert Walker Bush, United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, H.R. Conres 353 into the United States of America. Now, it didn't pass, but it was soft lawed into the United States of America. And then the next year, the following year in 1993, Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton at that time, had Executive Order 12852. What's Order 12852? It's the President's Council on Sustainable Development. Okay, so Debbie, what does that mean before I get back to Jerry Brown and this? It means, and this is a book called Agenda 21, the Earth Summit Strategy to Save Our Planet, edited by Daniel C. Tarz. In fact, many people have heard of this book recently because Dr. Paul Dreesen wrote an article about sustainable development, and he even quoted what I'm going to read to you right now, which is, what is Agenda 21 and why are people like Debbie Bachigalupi every day, running around, some would say like a chicken with their head cut off or the sky is falling, talking about Agenda 21, and why do I believe this is the most important topic everybody should know about? Because effective execution of Agenda 21 will require profound reorientation of all human society, unlike anything the world has ever experienced. A major shift in the priorities of both governments and individuals, and an unprecedented redeployment of human and financial resources. This shift, listen to this, will demand that a concern for the environmental consequences of every human action. What's a human action? Breathing, right?
Okay, sure.
Building dams, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Having livestock, farming, agriculture, cars, homes, drinking wine.
Everything.
It says every human action be integrated into individual and collective decision-making at every level. Okay, so this was Executive Order 12852. President's Council on Sustainable Development, 1993. Executive Order 12852 went into every government resource or agency. They had to, because it was an executive order, they had to. To this day, We have groups like the Army Corps of Engineers, the USGS, the United States Geological Survey, the Department of Fish and Game, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, all these different agencies, the Bureau of Land Management, marching to the tunes of an executive order that happened in 1993, but then was so infiltrated into saving planet Earth that to this day, it is still the marching orders of these agencies, which is why you see across the board Fish and Game departments now moving into Fish and Wildlife departments, because it's about saving the environment first and not providing food and sustenance for people first. Look at our forests, for example. The same things that are happening with dams. We are mismanaging our forests such that our forests are so dense, there's so many trees, that if there is a wildfire or if there is a, you know, an accident and somebody's camping and there's a, you know, they accidentally start a fire or a car sparks a fire, that we can't stop these forests. They burn long, hard, and deep to where they're destroying our forests altogether. Well, the same thing is happening with dams. They don't like dams. They don't like people touching things. They want people off the dams. So in this book, the Global Biodiversity Assessment, there's a section on dams and why dams are in disfavor. And what it says about the disfavor of dams is, as of 1988, some 39,000 large dams had been constructed, creating reservoirs larger in total than the area of California or France. These reservoirs created by dams therefore represent substantial new aquatic habitats. Through these tend to be occupied by common and widespread species. But why is that so bad? Because dam construction, it says, is the most obvious human intervention leading to the loss of wetlands habitat.
Nice.
Dams, therefore, and rivers are also being influenced, it says, through human activities in their catchments, which are being influenced by embankments, draining, deforestation, urbanization, and industry, and dam building, and it goes on and on and on about how human beings touching rivers and dams and creating dams is destroying the biodiversity of planet Earth. Now going to this document, which Jerry Brown referenced in his biodiversity report called the Global Biodiversity Strategy. This is the Global Biodiversity Assessment. So for those people who think that the United Nations Agenda 21 only, you know, it's voluntary, it's not. Because we even have government resources referring to documents by the United Nations saying that we need to follow along with what the United Nations is suggesting. Like, for example, Bruce Babbitt under President Clinton. He was the Secretary of the Department of Interior under Clinton. Here's what Bruce Babbitt had to say about dams, and this he said this only five years ago. 2012. With public opinion now moving our way nationally and in the Northwest, we ratcheted up our efforts in Congress to finish off the Elwha dams. Slowly. That's in the state of Washington, by the way. Slowly. By the way, this is in Olympic Park. These dams created lakes, two lakes. The lakes were just had a plethora of birds. They're no longer there because the dams were destroyed. The dams were then let out, the concrete and the debris were just let out to go out to the ocean, destroying other habitat. But that was okay because it fit their agenda to get rid of dams. So we ratcheted up our efforts in Congress to finish off the Elwha dams. Slowly, at what seemed a glacial pace, pardon me, funding started to flow finally coming to fruition in the Obama administration. In other words, it took them years and years and years to get the Elwha dam destruction financed, and it happened under Obama.
Just to be clear, Bruce Babbitt's a moron, right?
He is a radical environmentalist who's actually now working in California. He's been tasked as a consultant for environmental issues here in California, and Eric Holder, by the way.
Nice.
So these radical people who have had a legacy or are leaving a legacy of behind of putting frogs and fish and some, you know, cricket or beetle before the basic needs of human beings and the basic needs of farmers and ranchers to provide, you know, local, healthy, nutrient-dense, rich food to the local people and the local economy, which, you know, could get into the whole idea behind public lands and how public lands are, you know, destroying the local economy. I add that in, Doug, because if you just add up all the different pieces that are happening in rural America, whether it's wolves being released into our landscapes from Canada and being brought in from from Mexico, so Mexican and Canadian gray wolves, to the forest being, you can't timber because of, you know, the supposed spotted owl, which our own Fish and Game, now called Fish and Wildlife Department, admitted that it's not because of old growth forests disappearing. That's not why. Or the timbering, it's because the barred owl is mating with the spotted owl to create, you know, to decline the population of the spotted owl. So you've got an infrastructure in, you know, our roads being depleted. You've got ranchers and farmers who are being told that because of some endangered species, they can't grade their land, they can't use tractors in areas, they can't. Dust is now a pollutant, so you're minimalized in how much you can grade your property. When it comes to water, there could be some endangered fish that they claim, like the coho salmon on the Klamath River or the Delta smelt. So there's all these different things that are happening that are destroying rural America's ability to, and then all the regulations that people in cities vote for who are just really clueless or don't care what it takes to provide someone with a farm to fork meal, you know, and just taking, having the convenience of living in cities. You know, they're far removed from what it takes to live in rural America and how difficult it is. Not even to mention just working with Mother Nature, which is why I think, that people should still be concerned about Oroville Dam. Who knows, Oroville Dam and the reservoir. Who knows when the next storm is going to come up, whether it's a larger storm or what, or the impact down the road. So to say that, you know, perhaps, let's say this weather system disappears. Who knows when the next weather system comes in, you know, down the way that, you know, it's still not enough time to repair, the great, you know, the whatever you want to say to repair, the spillway and really add infrastructure, and to make Oroville Dam safe. And you know, then there's the mental side of that I just thought of. I couldn't imagine what it must be like to live in that area going forward, not knowing, you know, the future of that dam.
Sure.
And living near it. Could you imagine living near there and just not, it's a big question. What is, you know, how are we safe? Are we safe? And
exactly right. Mm-hmm. With respect to the dam itself, I mean, okay, so obviously the answer to the initial question is the dam going to hold? The answer is don't know. The potential evacuations, considering that tomorrow a storm, a 7-day rain event is predicted in Northern California, in that area of California, that will affect the dam, the water levels of the dam. If that dam breaks, just imagine the property damage, the crop damage, the displacement of population, the loss, potential loss of life, all of this. What I want to know, Debbie, is again, because if I lived there, or even if I don't live, I mean, I don't live there, but to me, and people who are living there are being victimized by an agenda of these morons. I'll say it again: these idiots. And I want to know who these idiots are. You've got, obviously, you've got Moonbeam Brown over there. You got Bruce Babbitt, as you had mentioned. Every author or contributor to the Agenda 21. Obama.
Yeah, Trilateral Commission and right. the Council on Foreign Relations. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. These connect the dots people who seem to always be there or be involved somehow. Right. And it is. It's reckless behavior. And, you know, and in California, we have a real issue with the environmental groups getting being stakeholders at these meetings where, and these environmental groups who seem to have more say on what happens on private property, and whether or not that's true, it just seems that way. That where are we the people who, at the table? Where, you know, and that goes back to the Klamath River dams, for example. Over 15 years of secret meetings happened with environmental groups, with people in Washington, D.C., and with people in California, you know, Sacramento, the state capital, where, you know, Jerry Brown roosts from, and people from Portland, Oregon, and yet we, the people in Siskiyou County, my parents and a whole bunch of other ranchers and farmers and concerned citizens, didn't even know about these secret meetings to remove these four clean, green, reliable, clean energy dams that provide drought control, flood control, fire suppression, irrigation, recreation, you know, a plethora of ecosystem benefits, 24/7 water, 365 days a year of irrigation and water, and water for fish. And what people are being told is that those dams need to be destroyed, not removed. It's destroyed. It's breaching. What's breaching? It's like punching a hole in the dams. And then with the power of the water in the storage lakes behind all these dams, that water is going to force the breakage of these dams. So 187 miles up from the ocean, from the Pacific Ocean, is the first dam, Iron Gate. It's the largest. So when you breach that, you've got 20 million cubic yards of sediment, pollutants, debris behind these dams that's going to wash its way, you know, 60 plus years out to the ocean. All the environmental damage for what? To save a fish? So what's their excuse in Oroville for not fixing that spillway? They had 12 years to fix it. Well, I declare that the reason that they didn't fix it is because in the 21st century, dams are in disfavor. And what Bruce Babbitt said, I didn't finish it, he said, others will have their compelling priorities, and there are still 75,000 dams for consideration. 75,000 dams for consideration of removal across the United States. We're talking major infrastructure. We're talking billions and billions of cubic feet of acre water that we need for drought control, fire control, irrigation, all those things I mentioned earlier. So, you know, I think people across the United States should be just angry about what's going on in California. We're not all a bunch of nut jobs. There are good people who are working their tails off night and day, not getting paid, getting, you know, in meetings, in public meetings, getting laughed at and scolded by these environmental groups and these people from cities who are paid, you know, paid to come in by buses, whether it's, you know, to stop the wolf introduction into California or to save our dams. By the way, that reminds me. We are culpable in Californians are culpable in some way. Back in 2014, in the ballot was a proposition called Prop 1, and it was the water bond bill. And people in Siskiyou County who have been really fighting hard, this is also the state of Jefferson area, because rural America, it's very rural, and it's where my parents' ranch is. They had, you know, because of the Klamath River Dam issue and tributaries to that dam. So if and when, which by the year 2020 is when they want to start breaching these dams, And I don't know if Trump knows about this. I sure hope he finds out. But if Hillary Clinton won Miss Sustainable Development, I guarantee you those dams would be coming down. I guarantee it. So what we were doing in Siskiyou County as Prop 1 was making its way around California, we were telling people, do not vote for this bond. It was a $7-point-something billion bond. But when you add in the interest, it's a $14 billion bond that was supposed to supposedly fix our water infrastructure. We have no new storage. In fact, we're losing water. But what it says in here, and this is why I say that we are partly guilty, because overwhelmingly, people in California on all sides of the political aisle voted for this proposition, even though I went around the state dressed up as a big pig to say this bond is full of environmental pork. Why is it full of environmental pork? Because it even says in this bond, we must remove fish barriers. What's a fish barrier?
Dare I say a dam?
A dam is a fish barrier. So we voted for dam removal. And so anyway, I just hope that people read. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
That's a lot going on there. If we can, Debbie, if we can switch gears while we got you here, there's been a story that's started last week, made it through this week, has not gotten a lot of coverage, deals with the Paris Climate Summit Agreement that was signed, the weather manipulation, the global warming number manipulation perpetrated by NOAA has come out in the news. Last week it came out that NOAA had manipulated data and temperature data in order to make it appear as though the Earth was warming. Then it came out that they manipulated data when they said there was a global cooling period. All of it made up in order to promote the man-made climate change lie, or at least the man-made climate change lie the government feeds us for purposes of Agenda 21 and the sustainable development. Does that vindicate all the other climate scientists who came out and said it is not a man-made issue? The dangers are not as severe as people are making it. You know, Al Gore's assertion that, you know, we should already be underwater if you live within 30 feet of the coast. I mean, what credibility do these people have left?
Well, here's the problem with that, and thanks for bringing that up, because you know that is an area that's near and dear to my heart since I did go to the Paris Climate Conference in December 2015. And a lot of these scientists who you're talking about are my friends, Dr. Willie Soon, Dr. Patrick Moore, who started Greenpeace. He was the co-founder and he was the president at one time, and he quit Greenpeace, the organization he started, because he says it turned too radical for the environment and, you know, the people were forgotten. So, and Dr. Eastbourne, Markle, all these remarkable scientists who were part of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and they were tasked with doing reports on climate, on carbon dioxide, its impact on Earth. And because these scientists, their reports, their studies did not match the United Nations, then we had that whole movement where, oh, we had those climate scientist deniers and we should put them in jail, and which we're still hearing that, you know, people saying, no, global warming is true and it's man-made, and the climate change deniers, they should be put in jail. And let me tell you, if Hillary Clinton was put into office, I guarantee you, we would be marching to the Paris Agreement right now, full force. So, will they be vindicated? I do not know. Because we still do not have control of the media, which is why groups like, shows like yours, I think, are fabulous, even though they want to say that we're the fake news, right? We need shows like yours. We need independent people going out and being the investigators. You know, Sundance Film Festival, and this is where we're going to get in trouble. Sundance Film Festival this year, at their very snowy, blizzardy, freezing cold film festival this year, launched a new series for future Sundance film festivals. And I'm sure it's going to make its way into other film festivals around the world. It's called The New Climate, and series of documentaries, special projects, short clips. And what it, they are about are climate change and global warming. And overwhelmingly, these films preach that climate change is caused by capitalism and greed and colonization and white man is what these films, and in the panel discussions, if you, you know, peek in, which I did, into some of the things that happened in Sundance, you'll see that overwhelmingly this was what was going on. In fact, you should go to cfact.org or climatedepot.com or .org and check out some of the stuff that they do. They work with these scientists that you're talking about, these good people who know that science is never settled. By the way, this is where Patrick Wood and Technocracy News really starts to take off, because under a technocracy, everything is settled via some scientific dictatorship. And this is why we hear or heard Obama and John Kerry and Al Gore and all these other people saying, and even the public, which is what I'm, who I'm concerned about, because there are more people, if you've got tons of people believing the rhetoric that, you know, capitalism is bad and we need to stop capitalism because it's causing man-made global warming and greed is bad and eating meat is bad and driving cars is bad and all those things are bad to planet Earth. You know, that's where we need to worry, where we need to tap in and reach people is through education and in the schools. But if people are being told that, oh yeah, here's the science, there's a new movie that'll be coming out called Chasing Coral, and it's a beautiful movie. It's gorgeous. It's about the Great Barrier Reef. And the story is all about the dying of the coral reefs through this process called bleaching, and what they say, it's because of man-made global warming. So when you're, if you're watching this film, you're going, oh my gosh, are we really that bad? Are we really causing, cause look, they have these scientists, they have these guys, these normal, you know, kind of guys and these scientists and these groups of people who just are really cool and cute and whatever, and they seem like they know their stuff, diving down and, oh my gosh, and look at the bleaching of the, you know, the coral and how it's dying. But you know what? Movies and documentaries, they can give you a spin, a twisted spin where you don't even know the truth. And here's what I say to people and all the time, if people say, oh, you don't believe in global warming, I think the Earth cools and warms all the time, all over the place. It's happening
exactly.
Right now. It's happening in my little office here right now. And then when people tell me, oh, well, the polar ice caps and the polar bears, and my first thing, you guys, to people is, have you seen with your own two eyes and heard with your own two ears and touched with your own two hands what you're telling me is true? And it's always no. I haven't, but Al Gore or so-and-so said. So I challenge people with the idea of, don't be someone who is just, throwing out secondhand smoke. Be the person who, you know, picks up that cigarette, and if you want to, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Be the person who don't smoke. But, you know, that was a bad example.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt your thought there, but I just want, before we run out of time, I just want to say this. What you said is so important, because Obama staying in D.C., okay, you mentioned about Hillary Clinton, we'd be, you know, marching off the Paris talks. I get that. Obama, by staying in D.C., who is the head of Organizing for America, which is the third incarnation of Obama for America back in 2009. It's now Organizing for America, which is the umbrella group for a number of other socialist groups, including Millennials for Revolution. By the way, the Obama group's got 250 chapters all across the United States, 32,525 volunteers, all of which are involved, as you put it, partially as addition to being social justice warriors, environmental activists. But the Millennials for Revolution, part of their platform, and these are part and parcel to the marches you see and the demonstrations and all everything you see across the United States, these socialist organizations are preaching this climate change, and they want to criminally prosecute, string up, and flog, if you will, climate change deniers. I just wanted to bring that out, because Obama, that whole socialist, the Sanders, that whole group of people that you had mentioned is really fighting for this. Debbie, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just, because that was part of the research I did for a video I did yesterday, and I found this out, and I thought, wow, how big is the platform you're talking about and how ingrained it is in the socialist movement today. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it's huge. And, you know, just even though we have a new administration does not mean that these things are going away. They're not. They're not. I can tell you that, well, if I can find it quickly, there is, here it is. This is called the Business for 2030. Can you see that? Anyway, what yep. it says, it's forging a path for business in the United Nations UN 2030 Development Agenda, an initiative of the United States Council for International Business. Who's a part of this? Coca-Cola, Walmart, Johnson & Johnson, IBM, DuPont, all these different huge globalist companies that we frequent all the time. Procter & Gamble, that's a lot of your shampoos and your soaps, and Walt Disney Company, and all these different MasterCard, all these different Google, all these McDonald's, all these different organizations who are pushing the United Nations 2030 agenda. What is the 2030 agenda? It is Agenda 21 stepped up from the year 2050, or however you say that. The goal originally was by the year 2050. Now it's stepped up to the year 2030. So these organizations are helping to push to implement United Nations Agenda 21 under a new brand called the 2030 Agenda, which means by the year 2030, we will be a sustainable development society. So how does Walmart push a sustainable development society? They will have products. They will pick and choose what products are sustainable that you can purchase. And then you get to be a good global citizen because you did due diligence on buying a green product.
That's amazing. Debbie.
Wow.
I want to thank you for joining us. We've already reached the end of the hour. The information on the Oroville Dam, just fascinating. We hope to have you back on. Talk about that as well as other things. You got your finger on the pulse of the Agenda 2030, Agenda 21. And, you know, we continue to see that agenda being rolled out in full force. So we look forward to having you back. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Wow, you said more in 50 minutes than people can say in a lifetime. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys.
All right, we'll be right back after these short messages. Stay with us.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly. Yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks and Pro Flowers and Casper Mattress and some of the bigger companies out there? Would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can, it's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits what we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com.